Welcome to Simply Scottish, a podcast of all things Scottish, with music, features, interviews, and more, on the web at www.simplyscottish.com.
Hello and welcome to Simply Scottish, the half-hour show of music and features. I'm your host, Andrew McDermott. Thanks for listening today. If you're just discovering Simply Scottish, then I welcome you to the programme. If you've been listening for a while, I hope you're enjoying it. Either way, you can find other episodes and a music playlist for each show on our website, www.simplyscottish.com. Between episodes, stay in touch with myself and other listeners on our Facebook page, facebook.com/simplyscottish. You can also follow the show on Twitter with our handle at simplyscottish. We've partnered with musicscotland.com to give away a free album of Scottish music every month. Winners can choose from a catalogue of over 4,000. Join us on Facebook or Twitter to be part of our monthly music giveaway. This week, the second in a series of episodes exploring the history, culture and landscape of Scotland's border region. Starting us off with music, this is up-and-coming fife singer Panda Sue taking us back to the basics with Alphabet Song.
I know something beginning with H, bodies move, regular beats, irregular shapes, and I know well how this goes. Close my eyes, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. I know something beginning with you. Alphabet's worthless, and there's letters in there that you can't even use. And I know well how this goes. Close my eyes, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
A, B, C,
You're listening to Simply Scottish. On the first episode of our series on the Scottish borders, we introduce you to the region, which covers about 1,800 square miles in the southeast corner of Scotland. It's an area of contrasts, to be sure, where you can take in rolling hills and heather-clad moorlands, not far from streams, lochs, rivers, and rocky coastline. We also started off our exploration of the region with a closer look at one of its favourite sons, Sir Walter Scott. While born in Edinburgh, Scott spent much time in the borders, and the Scott family line is closely interwoven in border history. He developed a lifelong appreciation for border history, legend, and oral tradition, and he shared this with the world through his writing. Scott's poetry brought border locations to life in such a vivid way that sightseers flocked to landmarks like Melrose Abbey, eager to see these places through Scott's eyes. In a prolific writing career, Scott published dozens of books, at least 15 of which were set in Scotland, and a number in the Scottish borders. Examples include The Bride of Lammermoor, The Heart of Midlothian, The Monastery, St. Ronan's Well, Waverley, and Rob Roy. For nearly a century, Scott's novels were among the most popular and widely read novels in all of Europe, and still today, his work is enjoyed and cherished in Scotland and around the world. We continue our look at the Scottish borders by first paying a visit to Abbotsford House, the home that Scott designed and built himself. Located on the banks of the River Tweed, a few miles from the town of Melrose, Abbotsford is named after a ford in the river where abbots from Melrose Abbey would cross the Tweed. More than just the house of a famous author, Abbotsford is the personal vision and soul of Scott, who described the home as, quote, a museum for living in, unquote. The house contains an impressive collection of historic relics, weapons and armour, including Rob Roy's gun and Montrose's sword, and a library containing over 9,000 rare volumes. In addition to the majestic gardens and walkways outside, visitors can walk through Scott's study and library, where he put pen to paper to write many of his famous poems and novels. Scott lived at Abbotsford until his death in 1832. His own son Walter would not live to enjoy the property, having died on his way from India in 1847. Scott's descendants lived at Abbotsford until 2004, when his great-great-great-granddaughter, Maxwell Scott, worked with her sister to turn the home into a popular tourist attraction. Down the road from Abbotsford lies the town of Melrose, home to one of Scotland's most well-preserved abbey ruins. More on Melrose after music from Scottish fiddler Alistair Fraser and keyboardist Paul Maclis. This is Laughing Wolf and Mountain Madness from the album The Road North. Melrose Abbey is a beautiful abbey ruin maintained by Historic Scotland. Founded in 1136 by Cistercian monks on the request of King David I of Scotland, it functioned as the mother church for the Cistercian order. In 1322, the town of Melrose that had grown up around the abbey was attacked and much of the abbey destroyed. It was rebuilt by order of King Robert the Bruce, whose embalmed heart, encased in lead, is buried in the church. Further attacks by English forces in 1385 and 1544 led to a decline in use. The last abbot was James Stuart, illegitimate son of James V, who died in 1559. From 1610 to 1810, the abbey's church was used as a local parish for the town of Melrose. Today, visitors can enjoy a walk through the magnificent ruins, taking in beautifully preserved sculpture and a museum that houses a collection of medieval objects that were found in the abbey cloister. My wife and I visited Melrose Abbey during a recent trip to Scotland. I was struck by the artistry and majesty of the place, and the abbey is in such serene surroundings. The town of Melrose lies in the Tweed Valley at the foot of the distinctive triple peaks of the Eildon Hills. The sport of rugby is popular in Melrose, and indeed the derivative game of rugby sevens, a popular offshoot of the game, originated here. Melrose hosts the annual Border Book Festival, held each June, where esteemed authors from all over Scotland gather to celebrate the written word. The festival features events for all ages, and each year awards the Walter Scott Prize to a work of historical fiction. Down the road from Melrose is the town of Galashiels, in the heart of the Borders. The town is known for its textile industry, and as such, Heriot Watt University's School of Textiles and Design is located here. Visitors to Galashiels can get a close look at the weaving process at the Lough Carron of Scotland Cashmere and Wool Centre. Lough Carron is one of the world's leading manufacturers of authentic Scottish tartan, as well as a range of clothing and accessories in cashmere, merino, and lamb's wool. Another popular event in and around Galashiels is the Braw Lads Gathering, an annual celebration of local and regional history that takes its name from the Robert Burns poem Braw Lads o' Gala Water. Braw, braw lads on Yarrow Braes, they rove amang the bloomin' heather, but Yarrow Braes nor Ettrick Shaws can match the lads o' Gala Water. The gathering was designed to pay tribute to key historical events, including the granting of a charter establishing Galashiels as an independent borough, and the giving of the Ettrick Forest by King James IV to his bride-to-be Princess Margaret Tudor in 1503, a marriage that led to the union of the crowns of Scotland and England 100 years later. Events in the Braw Lads Gathering, held throughout the month of June, include several horse ride-outs of historical significance, a country dance, sports days, a ball, a fancy dress parade, and a cavalcade. More of Scotland's borders after music from Gaelic group Dive, a young traditional band based on the west coast of Scotland and composed of musicians from Ireland, Scotland, Cape Breton, and California. This is a song from their 2010 album Diversions. Thank you. You're listening to Simply Scottish. On this second episode on a series exploring the Scottish borders, we turn our attention to some major border towns and landmarks. My mother and father, Andrew and Samantha McDermott, were married on October 16, 1977, at St. Giles Cathedral, the High Kirk of Edinburgh. It was a beautiful occasion, a rare Sunday wedding, with hundreds of well-wishers crowding around the new couple and photographers from the capital's newspapers capturing the event. As soon as it was over, my dad whisked my mum away in his distinctive black taxi, and off they went to the borders for some peace and quiet. They honeymooned at a cottage in Yarrow Ford, a small village in the Ettrick Forest near Selkirk, where the Yarrow Water joins the Ettrick Water, a tributary of the River Tweed. This tranquil area was the birthplace of poet and novelist James Hogg. Like Walter Scott, Hogg grew up with the stories and folklore of the borders. As a young man, he worked as a shepherd in the Yarrow Valley, reading his family's Bible and his employer's books, as well as immersing himself in local story and music traditions. In 1801, his first collection, Scottish Pastorals, was published, and Hogg was recruited to collect ballads for Walter Scott's collection, The Minstrelsy of the Scottish Border. He would befriend Scott and be mentored by him during the rest of his writing career. Like Scott, Hogg wrote a lot of poetry early in his career, including the epic story poem The Queen's Wake, about Mary Queen of Scots returning to Scotland in 1561 after her exile in France. Hogg spent some time in Edinburgh, helping to start Blackwood's magazine, but it was in the borders where he felt most at home and did most of his writing. He earned a reputation as the Ettrick Shepherd, the self-educated son of the rustic borders who many considered to be a successor to Robert Burns, the heaven-taught ploughman. In addition to poetry, Hogg wrote stories and novels, often contributing to magazines and journals of the day. The Shepherd's Calendar is a collection of stories originally published in Blackwood's magazine. His standout novels include Private Memoirs and Confessions of a Justified Sinner, The Three Perils of Man, and The Three Perils of Woman. Hogg continued to write, publish, and farm until his death in 1835. The Yarrow Valley is also the birthplace of Scottish explorer Mungo Park. Park attended school in Selkirk and studied botany and medicine at the University of Edinburgh. He travelled to East India as a ship's surgeon, and in 1794 led the first of two expeditions to Africa for the African Association to find the source of the Niger River. Park's experiences are recounted in his published journals, entitled Travels in the Interior Districts of Africa. A fateful second voyage brought his untimely death at age 35. After losing most of his party to fever or dysentery, Park and a guide were attacked by an army of natives while journeying down the Niger River. It would be years before an accurate account of Park's death was ascertained. On an upcoming episode, we'll continue our exploration of Scotland's borders. That's it for this edition of Simply Scottish. Listen to other episodes online at www.simplyscottish.com. Get a chance to win a free CD of Scottish music by interacting with us through social media. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/simplyscottish, and our Twitter handle is @simplyscottish. We'll close with a touching song from the Proclaimers. This is Act of Remembrance. I'm Andrew McDermott. Join me again for more of All Things Scottish on Simply Scottish.
Simply Scottish is hosted and produced by Andrew McDermott. Show content is copyright 2012, Simply Scottish Media. All music used with consent of copyright holders. Continue your Simply Scottish experience on the web at www.simplyscottish.com. Thanks for listening.
Arms of steel, hair of gold, royal blue eyes, with the rebel soul. You scared me. You still do. But I loved you more than you ever knew. This is my act of remembrance. Ooh, my act of remembrance. Ooh. Doctor's fate said the time had come. I stood up and began to run. My boy's voice called you. Silence came. This is my act of remembrance. Ooh, my act of remembrance.
Is it gone? Is it pink gone? Is it up?